Hello everyone, this is Julia McCutcheon, founder and creative director of the International Association of Conscious and Creative Writers at IACCW.com, where writers discover their authentic voice on the page and in the world. And welcome to our free monthly teleseminar interview for IACCW members. And to quote one of the posts on my Facebook page recently, we have a truly great lineup of speakers to inspire and inform you about everything you need to know to succeed as a conscious and a creative writer in the contemporary marketplace. And thank you so much for taking the time to join us. We're here today to talk about the 7 practices to find your authentic voice, and I'll be introducing my special guest speaker, Andrea Beaulieu, in just a moment. So first of all, let me just explain how these calls are organized. Our interview is scheduled to last for about 60 minutes, and for those of you on the live call, we will open up for questions towards the end, so do make sure that you write down any points you'd like to ask about while we're speaking. And the audio recordings are posted to the members-only area at IACCW.com, and once you've logged in, you'll find these on the past events page. So each month, just to remind you, we're taking the topic of our teleseminar interview as the theme of the month in our writers community, which is based in the IACCW Facebook group. And this idea is to support you to take action and to make time for regular progress with your writing and with all activities relating to your authorship, because I know how hard it is when we have such busy schedules, all of us these days. So we make a few suggestions for how you can engage with each theme and also encourage you to come up with your own ideas. And I'd love to encourage you to choose at least one idea to focus on during the month and then perhaps commit to sharing those experiences in the group. And then at the end of the month, we invite you to share your results and any lessons that you've learned with your fellow IACCW writers. And I'm participating in this practice also, and you can read my comments on both the wall and on the discussion board in the group relating to each of the themes each month. And if you aren't already a member of this group, which is open to both members and non-members of the IACCW, I do recommend that you join us. You can share your news, your blog posts, and any other writing-related information with everybody. And we have over 870 members now, so it's a great opportunity for you to connect with other like-minded writers. And you'll find us by logging into Facebook and typing International Association of Conscious and Creative Writers into the search facility and just clicking the link to the group which pops up. Okay, so let's move on to today's interview with our special guest, Andrea Beaulieu. Now, I first came into contact with Andrea earlier this year when the IACCW was first launched, and she contacted me because of the connection between her work on finding your authentic voice and the theme of the IACCW, which, as you know, is to discover your authentic voice on the page and in the world. And when we spoke, we discovered that we have a huge amount of common ground and share a real passion for authenticity and for spreading the message about its importance in the world generally. So we then decided to exchange books. So I sent Andrea a copy of mine and she sent me copies of hers, which I really enjoyed reading. And it was just an obvious next step for me to invite Andrea to be one of our featured speakers to share the wonderful process she teaches for finding your authentic voice, because it resonates so much with what I teach as well. And here we are. So I'm really, truly delighted that Andrea is here with us today. And I'm just going to share also some information from her professional bio with you so you can get a real sense of this wonderful lady we have on the line today. So Andrea is an author, coach, and consultant located in Phoenix, Arizona. And her books are Finding Your Authentic Voice, 7 Practices to Free the Real You, and Experience Love, Happiness, and Forgiveness, and Aha, 100 Flashes of Insight and Inspiration from Your Authentic Voice. And her books are based on her trademark Your Authentic Voice Creativity System. And she's owned her own business for 23 years and served numerous organizations as a writer, consultant, and professional speaker. She works with individuals and organizations as a coach, editor, workshop leader, and consultant to move forward and make a difference with clarity, confidence, and a new creative spirit. In addition, she is a performing artist represented by Dani's Talent Agency in Phoenix, and her personal spiritual journey started more than 25 years ago. She currently follows a regular Kriya practice taught by His Holiness Sri Ravi Shankar, founder of the Art of Living Foundation. And she's the mother of one son, Lucas, and two canine companions, Scout and Molly. And if you'd like to hear, read more about Andrea, I do recommend that you visit her website, which is at andreabeaulieu.com. So, Andrea, a very warm welcome to you, and thank you so much for being with us here today.
Well, thank you. I'm honored. I'm honored.
Oh, thank you. So let's start, if we may, by you telling us a little bit about your story, and especially with regard to writing and becoming an author.
Well, actually, I've been a writer, probably like many of the folks listening here today. I've been a writer since I was a child. I can remember going out. My family had a cabin up in Payson, Arizona, which is a very rural area, beautiful, lots of water and trees, and just a lovely, cool place to be. And I can remember going out by the creeks there and writing poetry. Mm-hmm. So writing was always a way that I expressed myself. And when I had spent some time on the road as a singer and a dancer with a musical group. And when I came home and I was in college, I was looking for work and thought, what can I do? What's something that I can do? And writing became an obvious answer for me. So I went to journalism school and broadcasting school, and I started writing. And I started writing as a copywriter, and I did special events and articles and just all the kind of things that you do when you're a writer for hire and people pay you to come in. And I started writing as a creative writer, both in the marketing and advertising world, and then also just doing my own creative writing, my own stories and things like that. Okay. And at the same time, when all that was going on, I was doing my own spiritual journey and starting to discover how to connect with that authentic place within myself, which also turns out to be the most creative place.
Yeah.
And as a result of all of that, I found about 5 years ago when I started to speak about this process that I like to say is I didn't create it. I just synthesized it.
Mm.
It was the way that it came through me, because it's the same thing. You know, it's the same thing as a lot of people talk about, but I looked at how did this creative process work for me? What helped me to connect into that authentic place and be able to write from it or really do anything else from it?
Mm-hmm.
And I came up with these 7 practices, and as I started to speak about them and tell stories around them and how it worked for me, it just became the next logical step to put these things in a book. As a professional speaker, you need a book. And so that my first book, Aha, was my first book, because I was doing these daily ahas where people would get these, and I still do them daily at inspirational things in their email, mm-hmm. compiled those into a book, and then I put my 7 practices into a book, because by that time I'd been speaking about them and had stories and everything, and so it became the logical next step to stick them in a book. So that's been my very short journey from being a writer for as long as I can remember, both personally and professionally, and having books.
Lovely. Thank you. And can I ask, because I know that it's inspiring for many of our listeners to really understand the stories that we all have in relation to writing. I mean, obviously it's something that's been with you pretty much all your life. Have you also had to work at honing the skills of your craft? Because I think that many people who have a natural aptitude for writing find that it just comes very easily and they don't have too many challenges with it. But then there are other people who have a passion for writing, but they also have real challenges with it too and have to work quite hard at the actual craft of writing. So where are you in that? And I think it's, as I say, always interesting for people to hear.
Well, for me, I have a natural ability to write. It's true, mm-hmm. but I honed my craft when I was in college because it taught me a way to present it in a way that I could communicate with other people and I could make a living at it. So the honing of the craft part really came through taking that natural creative ability that I had and putting it into a form that I could then put out to other people. But there were there have been times, absolutely, in my business life and my personal life where I would get what they called writer's block. And I can remember a very specific time when I was working for a PR company, and I had to write an article. I had a story. It was a story about a client. And I'd never had writer's block before. And I just couldn't do it. It was such a strange experience, but I could not connect with the story. It was so bizarre, and that my client actually, or my boss actually gave that story to another writer. Mm-hmm. And he did it. And it's the only time I can really remember being stuck like that. Mm-hmm. But I think one of the keys that helped me overcome that and has helped me overcome it in lots of my creative life or my writing life is I think at the time I had this idea that there was some perfect way of doing it, that I would have the perfect idea, that amongst all the ideas out there, there was some perfect idea that if I didn't find it and express that idea, that word, that metaphor, whatever, you know, I was looking for, that it wouldn't be good enough. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I learned to let go of was the idea that there was a perfect idea, you know, and I realized that whatever I got thrown up to me by my creative voice, I only needed to have an idea that spoke the truth.
Yeah.
It didn't have to be perfect, and I think that was part of what my block was about, was thinking there was something like that out there.
I love the fact that you brought that up, actually, because this quest for perfection is something that many people with writing have to deal with, actually, and certainly with many of the clients that I work with, it can be one of the single biggest challenges for people to learn how to let go of that quest for perfection, whether it be in terms of the ideas or the writing itself, or the quest to actually write a perfect page or a perfect chapter or a perfect book or whatever it may be. So it's a really great point that you've made there, and letting go and releasing that quest for perfection is a real freeing up of your creative spirit, I think, because I think if you're working too hard at trying to make it all perfect, then actually that shuts your creativity down. I mean, would you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And one of the ways that I coach around with people when they're in this place is, and it's something actually that Julia Cameron, the artist way writer, okay, you know, she does the daily pages.
Yeah.
And one of the ways that I found to stimulate my own creativity and to get around that perfectionism place is to just start writing, just to face the page, and not writing with an idea of I'm writing on whatever I want to be writing on, but just to dump all the stuff out of my head and to start the flow. And almost without exception, any time that I have done that, my creative brain ignites, and I will start to get what I need. But it's just getting past, and so that's one of the tools that I've used in order to get past that. But just knowing that there is no perfect idea that you're going to find, that idea, that speaking the truth, speaking your authentic truth, can come in many ways.
Yes.
And all you're doing is opening up to what that way is for that, in this moment, for this piece.
Yeah.
And when I could get there, it just took all the pressure off. And I really have not experienced that kind of writer's block that I had at that time again.
Superb. Yeah, thank you. Lovely. Okay, so let's dive straight in, shall we, then, to the incredible process that you've come up, these seven practices. What are the seven practices? Can you talk us through them?
Sure, absolutely. And again, as I say, I started out with this when I was sitting down to think about it. What are they actually? And I came up with 13, then there were 3, then, that kind of a thing. And what these are again, the things that I found that really happened. Okay, these are the things that all needed to happen, not in order. You know, it's like creativity is not linear, was not in order so much, although you can follow them, A, B, C, D, if you choose. But I found that they would, sometimes I would start with practice 4 and end up in practice 1, then 5, you know, it, whatever way that they worked. But these were the things that I found were present, which is why I called them practices versus steps or tips or anything like that. One, of course, is to be in the present moment. And I think that, you know, again, as that is not new to most of us, but when you really think about it, that unconditioned place, that place where our authenticity exists, where our voice exists, is in the present moment. Because it's not in our rational brain, it's not in all the mind chatter, it's not in all of that. And so being able to be in that space of being present in whatever way that you get there, being in that moment, whether you meditate for a moment or you connect with your senses or do the brain dump on the page or whatever it is that one can do to get out of their head and be in that present moment. And again, I take these as both a lifestyle, I guess, if you will, to constantly be stimulating my creativity and as a practice in the moment when I'm sitting down to write. Okay, so it goes both ways. But so that first thing of being in the present moment and doing what you can to quiet the distractions and be here and be now. And that can be challenging now with emails, you know, beeping at us, all of that kind of thing that we have today. But this is where you can get into the flow, I guess. It's about allowing yourself to be in that creative zone so that you can hear what it is that your authentic voice is going to throw up to you.
So
that's number one. Do you want me to just kind of run through these?
Well, yes, I was just going to make a comment on that because, again, this has a really deep resonance with what I'm teaching too, and I completely agree with all that you're saying. And the challenge, I think, for many people is that we are so drawn into the chatter of the everyday world, and I use that in the broadest sense possible, whether it be social media or emails, and our phones that we have these days have all of these things on, so we don't in a way get away from it unless we make a conscious choice and set the intention to step away from those multitude of distractions. And I just really wanted to really underline what you were saying there of how important it is to take a break from all of these distractions and to move away from that and to be disciplined about doing so. And I think that many people find that it's hard to do because they have very busy schedules and they're constantly going from one thing to the next. But in fact, in my own experience, I've found that the busier you are, the more important it is to engage with the present moment and really just to, as I say, have the discipline to take this step back and switch the mobile off and turn the email off in order to engage with the present moment. And the busier you are, the more you need to do that.
Well, and it's absolutely true. It's a challenge. And what's so funny about it, if you think about it, when we do that, when we take some time and get silent, however you do that, if it's meditation or taking a walk in nature or whatever it is that you do, it's such a relief. It's such a wonderful thing to do for only 5, 10 minutes, half an hour, whatever. That is so surprising that we don't just go, oh, yay, I'm going to go do this. But it's such a relief, and it's so beautiful. And the other thing I find is it is a practice of daily life.
Yeah.
It has such a deep impact on our ability to create that, goes beyond anything we think about.
Yeah.
So that, just making it a practice, it feeds into your life. So that when you do sit down to write, it's present for you. It's about experiencing presence at its deepest level. However, just it's like it juices you up on a regular basis. So when you do sit down to write, you have that much more ability to connect with that creative mind.
Yeah,
I agree with you. It's pulling yourself away from the world, and it's so crazy because it's such a lovely place.
It is, and also then, and I'm sure that you find this in your own experience too, that when you're actually in the rhythm of connecting in and staying as connected as possible to the present moment, when you're in that rhythm, literally morning, lunchtime, and evening for me, that there's a beauty to it and a pull towards that actually helps you to disconnect from all of the activities and the to-do list and all of those things. And that rhythm then becomes self-generating, I think. The more that you engage with it, the more that you want to engage with it, I find.
Oh, absolutely. I agree with you 100% on that. And there's some very easy ways, really. I shouldn't say easy in that, you can't... To stop the mind chatter, I shouldn't say the word stop, but to allow it to go by without attaching yourself to it, There's some things that you can do so easily. 5-10 minutes of bringing yourself into the present and using your breath, or one of my favorites is to ask your mind, I wonder what my next thought will be. And the minute you ask that question, your mind just completely stops. Because it's waiting. What's it going to be? You know, I mean, just little things like that can, I have a phrase I say, stop, breathe, and focus. Just stop. You know, breathe and focus on where you are and what it is that you choose to put your attention on right now. It's all about attention and intention. This can be done in 30 seconds or a minute, but pulling ourselves away is the trick. It really is.
Yeah, lovely. Great words of advice there. So what's the second of your practices?
Well, know what you want. Know what you want to create or express, and it sounds so easy. And I often quote the comedian here in the U.S., Lily Tomlin, who said, I always wanted to be somebody, but I should have been more specific. Which I love.
Yeah.
So it's really about, again, putting your attention and your intention on what it is that you want to create, rather than having being distracted and having it all over the place. I have often myself, especially for those of us, and I'm sure many people on this line who have multiple interests and multiple abilities and multiple talents, you know, how do I focus myself? You know, how do I know what I want when I can do all of these things? Or when it comes to my writing, what is the one thing that I want to communicate here? If I could sum it all up in one sentence, what would that be? And really focusing in for this moment on that one thing. I think that when we go to do that, at least for myself, when I go to do that, I will have things pop up in my brain that say, well, you can't have that, you know, or nobody's going to believe that, or that's not possible, or you know, all of these thoughts that come in that really carry no weight, but we think that they do. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the whole idea of just focusing in and saying, this is what I want. This is what I'm going to communicate. This is what I want to express. And having that as your designated focal point is the next practice.
Yeah, lovely. And any particular tips that you would give for people to help them focus? Because I know, again, with many of the clients that I work with, that they have multitudes of ideas. And it is a challenge, again, to actually focus in on one and feel okay about letting some of the other ideas go. Any tips that you would share?
Well, one thing that has come to me recently, and again, it's a spiritual practice, as so much of this is, and I, whether it's in my writing, it is in this moment, what wants to be born? It doesn't mean that these other things aren't important. It doesn't mean I won't get back to this. But what particular idea, what particular talent, what particular thing is going to do the greatest good, is going to serve the most people, is going to bring the greatest joy right now? What wants to be born? And then to meditate on that and to put that into an intention, I suppose. That would be a way, again, and it comes down to, because I think it's so easy to get caught up in, well, if I do this, it's forever, you know, or if I make this choice, because I do think that there's a lot of conversation and opinion, you know, find that one thing and do that, and that, yes, we have to have focus and direction and purpose and all of that, but I think for the purpose of writing, it's just to make a choice.
Yeah.
What's there now?
Yeah.
What's there now? It doesn't mean it's forever. When I was writing my book, I and perhaps others have experienced this, you're writing your book, and because you're a work in progress and life doesn't stop and new ideas don't stop and things continue to come, I thought, well, you know, this could go on forever because I might never get anything published because I kept thinking I have more, I have more, I have more. But you know what? It's enough.
Yeah.
It's enough. Stop here. Do this. Just do this. There's always more. There's always something. But put a period here. And I think it also comes down to, again, just knowing that it's enough. Just this. And then move on, if that's what your choice is. But to just choose one without the sense that, well, if I choose this, then that means I won't get to do all of these, or and whatever, you know, the mind is tells us.
Yeah, lovely. Great thoughts there. Thank you. So how about the third practice?
Well, part of what happens, and I call these the first four practices actually are kind of the work, if you will, because what I find them to be are the things that where we're releasing the obstacles that are impeding us from hearing our authentic voice. What happens when I ask myself what I want? And as I mentioned, it might be that I come up with, well, I can't have that, or I can't say that. Well, what if I say that and people won't like it? What's going to happen if I put this out into the world and I get rejected, or it doesn't meet with someone's approval, or, you know, whatever. You know, people don't appreciate it, or, you know, all of those concerns. So the third practice really is ask yourself how you feel and let yourself feel it. Because both how you feel now and how you might feel once that occurs, of course we don't know, but, and then let yourself feel it, because I think that often our emotional energy gets stuck, you know, and I think, well, if I feel this, then everything's just going to, you know, be horrible. I don't want to feel it. And this I have found from a coaching standpoint to be really the hardest thing. People might, you know, whatever your thought, your feelings are from that come out of that question, well, I want this, but, or I'm going to say this, but, or if I attempt to get this published, but, the feeling piece tends to get overlooked. It's like our intellectual brain kicks in, our rational brain, and, well, that shouldn't matter, or why would you feel that way, or whatever. But the fact of the matter is, if we do feel it, it's there. And to actually allow ourselves to feel the energy moving through, not to place a judgment on it, if possible, not to say it's right or wrong or believe it or any of that, but just to allow the energy to come through. Because on the other end of that energy, my experience has been you come to a place of peace and understanding so that you can make the efficient, right decision out of that authentic voice. But without going through those that emotional process, we get stuck. That's been my experience.
Again,
letting yourself feel it, not just say you're feeling, oh yes, I'm angry, but actually letting yourself feel the energy, not to take it out on anyone. It's not that. It's just the other thing that these feelings do is they help reveal beliefs about that we have about ourselves or our work. They're kind of the, you know, our spiritual practice of like, oh, look at what's there. Maybe I need to feel that and look at that so that I can let it go. And so that's, and you don't get that information if you don't let yourself have the feelings.
Indeed. And I was just going to say that perhaps, you know, using writing and journal writing, particularly at this particular stage, can be helpful to process those feelings, would you say?
Oh, sure. Absolutely. I mean, again, coming down to, I do recommend a daily practice that I recommend when I work with people, and the first part being to do that dump, and allow whatever thoughts and feelings come up unedited. You know, just put it out there and journal about it. It can take 5 minutes. And then if they come up, and to allow them to move through. I do think that sometimes if we're not used to doing this, if I'm working with someone, or if I am not used to it, or there are feelings that I particularly am not happy about having, I judge myself about them, or I'm afraid of them, I'm afraid I might feel overwhelmed, not know how to handle it. You know, there's lots of that where, oh, well, I can't feel that because I might just go crazy. You know, that kind of fear can stop someone, and especially fear. You know, the feeling of being afraid, or those things that we don't think of as positive feelings, but they're all educational. They're all part of us. And so to go through them, to embrace them, to allow them to be, you know, and I do say to people, because it's been part of my experience, you know, if you need to, in order to uncover your authentic voice, I had a therapist one time that would say what happens in life is that we start out as these amazing creative beings, and then we get all these messages that they're like blankets that come kind of cover over us. You know, we end up covered up with all these blankets.
Mm.
And those blankets don't allow us to shine our true light or even know who we are authentically anymore. So we have to rip off all, we have to take off all the blankets and the thoughts and the conditioned ideas that we have to be able to experience that authentic self again. And part of that is going through the work of feeling our feelings and looking at those thoughts and beliefs and being in a place of courage and willingness to break through so that you can connect with that authentic place and be who you are here to be.
Lovely.
So that's the hard work of it, honestly, I think.
Yes, indeed. So what about the fourth practice, which is part of this series of four that you were saying about releasing the obstacles?
Well, it's a spiritual practice of being with what is. It is what I say, looking to accept what is to find your place of peace.
Mm-hmm.
And I've read, I've experienced, and it's so, again, it's one of those funny things, it's a paradox, that we can be in the present moment and say, well, I don't like this, or I don't like that, or this shouldn't be this way, or I'm stuck in my writing, and I shouldn't be stuck here, or whatever. But the fact of the matter is, we are. It is. It is. And it is reality, and fighting that reality is, that causes stress and unhappiness and all of these things. But to accept wherever, whatever is now, and find our place of peace, not resign it, not to resign to it, that's not the same thing,
right.
But to be in true acceptance of wherever we are now, whether it's where we are as writers or authors, I'm here, I'm not where I want to be, blah, 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 or am where I want to be and I want more, but right here, right now, I find my place of peace here with what is.
Mm.
And that's the fourth. And again, that can be, it can feel like, well, if I accept where I am now, then I'll just stay here. I love what Eckhart Tolle always says. He says, you know, this horrible moment. I don't understand this horrible moment. But it's actually an amazing, amazing space to be in, a place of peace with what is, because you're not fighting the universe. You're not struggling. You're just there.
Yeah.
And then your authentic voice opens up and tells you, ah, how about this?
Mm.
And you get those amazing, brilliant ideas out of that place of peace.
Mm. Yeah, lovely. Again, yeah, couldn't agree more. Very, very powerful practice indeed for being with what is. So, yeah.
Well, and again, to me, this comes down to sometimes, and I think it's, a kind of funny idea, but it's workable. It works. Is that means sometimes we have to forgive ourselves for what we did or didn't do. We need to forgive others. We need to let go of whatever animosity or, I mean, it's a big place of forgiveness. If you're in a state that you're not in acceptance, it might be that that is what is necessary, is
mm-hmm.
to go into a place of forgiveness. And that, again, is such an emotional release. It releases all of that pent up, stored energy that's not allowing you to connect with that authentic voice. And again, as I'm sure people have probably heard, forgiveness is not so much for the other person, it is for us, you know, to allow ourselves to move forward, to let go and be open to the present moment and what wants to be born.
Beautiful. So all of these really are, as you say, releasing the obstacles and clearing the way for our authentic voice to shine through and to show up, both on
right.
the page and in the world in all that we're doing, which is
right.
very, very important. So what about the other practices that you have in your series of seven?
Well, then what happens, and these kind of go together, if you will, is once you have, you start to, what practice five is, to shift out of normal to experience new possibilities. It's basically to get out of being a creature of habit, to get off of autopilot, to start to try something new. What I found is in the writing process in particular, on a more practical level, once I have collected all my information, I know what I want to communicate, I've worked through whatever emotional and acceptance issues I have about where I am, I just start to really flood my brain with different stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I look at art books, I go outside in nature, I take walks down a different way. I just shift things up. I change things up. I do things differently, whether it's going to be as part of my life to start those creative juices coming or as part of a specific project. I just take my brain out of whatever rut it's in and I expose it to something new. And it doesn't have to be written work. It could be visual. It could be getting in my car and driving down the street. It could be walking around a different block. It doesn't have to be a big deal. What you're doing is you're just giving yourself your brain, you're shaking it up. You're getting it out of the rut so that you can start to practice six being. Then once you start that process, what I've experienced is you pay attention to what happens within and without, because that creative brain now has gotten, okay, this is what she wants. We've gotten rid of all the stuff that's preventing her from hearing me, and now she's thrown some new stuff my way to consider and look at, and now I'm going to connect the dots in a new way. Mm-hmm. And so you're going to start to get new ideas, new thoughts, things are going to show up in your environment that give you ideas. So really, practice six is all about paying attention, both to the aha moments that may come up at any time of the night or day, and also about what shows up in your environment. It could be somebody says something to you, or you see something on TV, or you see something in the newspaper, or whatever. You're going to get information that is specific to what it is that you're looking to do or looking to create. And then you just practice seven is essentially about choosing that path, if you will, that idea that shows up that has the greatest flow to it, and following it and seeing where it goes. And the challenge there is that it's not a linear thing. It's very much a, you know, go with the flow and see where it takes you, but it's not going to, the intuitive voice doesn't give you all the details. It points the way. It says, go this way, and you go that way, but it doesn't give you all of the details or connect all the dots. You have to be in a place of trust and exploration and discovery, and it falls together of its own accord. So those last three are really kind of the fun part. They're the three that take you in the direction that your authentic voice wants you to go, and then magical things really happen. And moving with that energy that brings you joy, that is that flow state that seems to happen as if by magic.
Hearing you speak there, particularly on practice six, I think, but all the last three practices just made me think of Paulo Coelho's book, The Alchemist, where it's all about learning to read the signs of the world, you know, paying attention to what's happening outside of you as well as what's inside of you, and interpreting those clues and then finding the path and following it and seeing where it leads. It just made me think of that story of The Alchemist, and it's just such a powerful story, and what you're saying, again, has complete resonance with all that I'm sharing with people too. And it is a very powerful journey, isn't it? I mean, there's no two ways about it. It's exciting, it's challenging, and it's very powerful.
Well, and it's also, it's so creative, because the creative mind often speaks in symbols and metaphors. And I often, when I'm coaching with someone, I'll ask them, is there something that comes to your mind, a metaphor? That, and they'll start talking about horses or whatever, and then they'll go, what, you know what? And I was going down the street and I saw this stable, and I really wanted to go in and look at these horses, but I didn't do it because it didn't make any sense. Mm-hmm. And so we'll go on a journey of really exploring the metaphor, and it always will have something to do with what their intention is, what they're wanting to write about. It'll give them some insight, some clues that would never have occurred to them on that rational level. So it's being open to, you know, I have a story. If we have time, I'll share it.
Sure.
Okay, a story. And this is very practical. It wasn't, it's not about writing, but several years back, I wanted to go to England and Ireland and Scotland, and I didn't want to take my son on a trip as his graduation present, and didn't want to go by myself, didn't want to do all of the work, but wasn't quite sure how to, you know, didn't really have an idea of how that would work out. So I started doing the practices of getting present and knowing what I wanted and clearing out any emotional things and et cetera, et cetera. And sure enough, all of a sudden pops into my mind that I have a friend who is connected with the Sister Cities program here. I thought, huh, I didn't know we had a Sister City in Ireland. Nothing. And so I called her. Well, she put me in touch with another person who I talked to. Then I see an article in the newspaper show up about the Sister City trip, which, by the way, was going to happen in the month that I wanted to go with all of these other people. And so I call up. I find out very reasonably priced, and anybody can go. I thought you had to be a member or something. And not only that, we go. It turns out we see stuff that I would never have seen had I just booked my own trip. It was phenomenal. What an amazing trip that happened. But it was by following this process of opening up to possibilities through these practices that all that came about. Because if I tried to do it just with my rational thinking of going to a travel agent or whatever, this would not have happened.
And that also prompts the point about synchronicity. And I think when meaningful coincidence, synchronicity starts showing up in your life, I think it is an indication that you're on track with your authentic voice. And that's a beautiful example of synchronicity, what you've just shared there.
Actually, it's one of the things I discovered along the way of speaking about this was, and I'm sure everyone has heard of the secret, you know, the law of attraction, is that these practices, what I realize really, whether you're writing or you're creating something in your life, are really about putting that law of attraction to practice.
Yeah.
That's what they do as a kind of another thing, is they put that law of attraction, because you're getting clear, you're clearing out the obstacles, you're setting your intention, you're paying attention, you're going with what is so that it can show up in your life, and you attract that.
Yeah, super. I'm just going to ask one more question, and then we're going to open up the line for any questions from people who are on the live call. And the question I'd love to dive into, actually, is the authentic voice that we're talking about here, would you say that this is the same thing as your authentic writing voice? And how would you actually distinguish between the authentic voice and the authentic living and the actual true authentic writing voice? Can you say a little bit about that?
Well, yes, I do think it is the same. It's just a matter of depth. My experience is that the more work I do on my living, on being that authentic being that I am, which means living and working from an unconditioned place, a place of truth that is not conditioned by my beliefs, my mind. And that's a challenge. I'm not saying that's a lifelong thing. But the more that I work to connect with that authentic voice, because that truly is, when you're writing from that space of being present and the flow comes and it's like you're in that zone and it's just coming out of you, that flow, that is the authentic voice in you. It's the way it's come through you onto the page. That's why I say these practices are not new in the universe, but they are the way they came through me. Okay, in my authentic writing, it's how it has shown up through me to do that. So from that standpoint, that authentic voice that we live by, that we connect with to be who we are in the world and happier and more fulfilled, is the same authentic writing voice. It's just that there are practical ways to catalyze, is that a word? to initiate, to ignite that writing voice using these same practices so that they're on a more, I like to say there's two levels. There's the deep level of the authentic voice, the authentic self, which is your intuitive brilliance, your knowingness, that part of us that just knows when we know. Mm-hmm. I mean, we just know that authentic self and voice that's there. And the creative process, which these practices address on a much more, I want to say, practical level, if you will, where you can take these same practices and engage your left brain to understand, here's what I want, you know, here's all the information I need, here are my key pieces, here's my key pieces of information, my main point, et cetera, and then turn around and engage the right brain to flood your awareness with thoughts and stimuli that will ignite that creative place in you, then let it go. Let it go, let it germinate, let it do its thing that it does, so that when it shows up for you and you start facing the page and you start writing, that germination will have then brought forth those great ideas, those great metaphors, that writing. So from that standpoint, it is the writing, the authentic writing voice then comes forth out of that place. You see, and that is your voice.
Yeah.
You know, and how it comes out of you. So I don't know if that's clear, but it is the same thing, just in a different outcome, I guess, maybe.
Yes, no, absolutely clear. I think very much so. It's the same thing, but a difference of depth and degree, really, and how it's actually applied. And you mentioned there's some practical ways to ignite the writing. Any other examples that you can share on bringing it into the writing realm further?
Well, sure. Specifically, let me just take a look here. Specifically, I mean, I can, with regard to my book, okay, with regard to my book, when I sat down to write my book, I had spent time figuring out, how do I teach this stuff?
Yeah.
You know, it's one thing to do it and to live it. It's another thing to sit down and teach it and say, okay, here's how you go about it. So the first step being in the present moment, what exists right now for me? What exists right now? And I had things like stories. Mm. I had points. I had a few action steps I'd been using in my coaching practice. I mean, I had all these things that I had right now in the present moment. And when I looked at them, I could connect in with how do I feel and how do I want others to feel when they have completed this book, reading it. What do I want them to walk away with? What's the tone I want to bring? What are the feelings that I want them to have? When I looked at the acceptance level, I thought, okay, these are the kinds of practical things of, I have X amount of pages, you know? Mm. I have this amount of space. I have this amount of budget. I have this amount of knowledge and expertise. Again, you know, stopping where you are. Letting that be enough. These are the acceptance points that I could bring into it. This is the reality I know today. Here's where it is. And then to shift out of that and open up. And so I would write all of that stuff down. I'd take all of my stories, all of my points, everything, to write them all down. And then I would walk away. And I would say, okay, I'm not going to think about this now. I'm going to let it sit, whether I let it sit for a week or a month or however long. At some point, I would come back and I would look at it again. And I would start to just look at the page and start to organize things, start to look at my story, start to look at everything from a fresh perspective and allow myself to get into that flow, if you will, to start noticing. For me, what happened was I had been out there doing this stuff for a couple of years before I wrote it down into a book. And I had all of these stories and all of this information, all these action steps, and I had put them together into an outline. But I wasn't... It was very clear to me that I was not in a place to really go into more depth with it at that point. It's like I stopped. Okay, I'm stopped now. So I found an editor. And I said, all right, I need some help now. And I gave her the Word doc of where I was. And she came back with her, you know, she edited some of it for me, came back, and it all of a sudden it ignited a whole new creative level in me. You see, that was my next step, to accept where I was and to go forward and to do something different, to shift out of normal, to not think I've got to figure this out for myself before I give it to her. Mm-hmm. So I found a partner. I threw it out there at her. It ignited a whole new level of information and how I could work with it and started the process so I didn't get stuck. And then we ended up going with the way that it worked out best and all of the rest of it. So... And then I could go in for the kill and edit it and, you know, do all of those kind of left brain things that you need to do and find the right graphic designer and all of that. But it was the process of using both the left and the right brain to allow them to work together and to accept where I was at that point. So does that help?
Yeah, fantastic. And I'm just so loving hearing you speak, Andrea, because there is such an incredible resonance with your experience and my own, both personally and professionally, of the whole creative journey and writing and what I share and teach. It's just beautiful to hear you expressing so many things in similar ways to the way that I do. It's just a real affirmation and a confirmation and very powerful. And yes, that certainly does make it very clear, and lovely points that you've been making. So what I'd like to do, if I may, is just open up the opportunity for anyone who's on the live call, if there are any questions that have popped into people's minds while they've been listening. And so for those of you who are on the live call, if you would like to ask a question of Andrea, all you need to do is press *0 on your telephone keypad and then just say your name, and we can acknowledge you just to make sure that we can hear you, and then you can go ahead and ask your question. And I'm sure that Andrea will be happy to answer any questions on anything that she's been talking about so far. So who would like to ask a question of Andrea? And it's *0 on your telephone keypad if you would like to do so. This is always the point where it goes silent, Andrea.
That's right. I don't bite.
Very shy on these teleseminars. I do understand that it's a very strange situation when you're not used to it, with a lack of visual cues and so on. So we're just one more opportunity. If anybody would like to ask a question of Andrea, we'll just pause for another moment. I mean, there's certainly plenty more for us to be talking about, that's for sure. Just one more pause in case there are any live questions. No? Okay. I think that what you've been saying is incredibly clear and very powerful. And so I'm going to move on because, as I say, there's plenty more for us to be talking about. And if anybody does pop up with a question, then that's fine. We can dive into that. But I think that what you've been sharing with us has been incredibly comprehensive and as I say, very powerful. And I'd just like to ask now the whole process of living these practices in your life, and both in your creative life and your writing life, and just in general. There are, I'm sure, many challenges that you've experienced and that you experience with the people that you work with. So what would you say would be the most challenging part of living these experiences just on a day-to-day basis, and how can we overcome these?
Well, I can say for myself, probably the most challenging thing is to deal with the uncertainty. To deal with the issues of trust and knowing that if I follow this voice, it will lead me to the place of my greatest purpose, my greatest ability to serve, my greatest joy, and letting go of the need to know exactly how that's going to happen. Letting go of needing to connect the dots. I found in my work, whether it's been as a consultant or a coach, my own life, that there comes a point of what I call creative tension. And I'm sure everybody here has experienced that, where you know, you don't know what's going to happen. You know, and everything is kind of up in the air. Specifically, I was working with a client. We were doing an event, and this is not about a writing piece per se, but it's the same thing. And we were doing an event, and we were in the creative process. A lot of stuff was up in the air. We didn't know how it was going to come out. We didn't know who was going to pay for things. I mean, there were just a lot of questions. And she was just kind of freaking out. Like, what's going to happen? And we had to walk through that. And, of course, it always does work out. Yeah. And it all came together. And it was amazing because the authentic voice presents options and possibilities and solutions that are so much better that we could never possibly think of. But the most difficult, I think, for me is trusting, is following it. It's being with that creative tension, being with that uncertainty, allowing yourself to move through it, and just holding on to, not holding on, maybe that's not the way of putting it, but holding to the intention that you set, and to knowing that there is this greater force that will create if you allow yourselves to surrender to it. Mm-hmm. And I think that is probably the most challenging, at least for me, to allow that to happen. But as I say, every time we do it, and if you start out with something small, you know, where it's not, the consequences wouldn't be horrendous. Mm-hmm. If you start out with something small and try it, you can see that it works. Yeah. And so it's just a matter of coming back again and again to mm-hmm. that place of surrender that it will.
Mm-hmm.
It will work.
And I, again, totally resonate with what you're saying here. And in my own experience, again, both personally and professionally, it's actually quite a feeling of liberation when you are able to surrender to the uncertainty and really trust that, although it's a very challenging thing to experience, that when you are able to release to that, it is quite a liberating feeling, I feel. And that can move you forwards in completely unexpected ways, but very positive ways.
Well, absolutely. Because you let go of control. I mean,
yeah.
The challenge is to let go of we think we control stuff. You know, and I don't mean not taking action. Of course, taking action and taking control from that point of view of taking action.
Mm-hmm.
But it's letting go of control
mm-hmm.
and allowing from deeper part of us that knows and allowing things to unfold.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than feel like we have to have this stranglehold on everything that goes on, you know, out of our fear.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is. It's truly a spiritual practice of having courage,
mm-hmm.
you know, to walk through that and to let go of that
mm-hmm.
Need to have all the answers and to know and all of that kind of thing.
Mm. And I think that's where the most powerful writing comes from, isn't it? Because, you know, the letting go of the feeling that you need to control how the words come out on the page or how perfect they are or how the ideas take shape or form. Once you let go of that, that is where the most powerful writing comes from, because as you've been saying all along, really, then that gives you access to that much deeper, deeper creative, authentic place. And so that brings me to one other question, which I think we just about have time for, which I'd love to ask you. Anything else that you would like to say to elaborate on how listening for and to your inner voice actually supports your writing? I know we've touched on quite a few points already of how it can actually support your writing, but any other final points that you'd like to make about this in regard to your writing specifically?
Well, when I do allow myself to come from that deeply authentic, honest voice and put that out in the world through writing, and I do that through a blog. I have a blog called Conspiracy of Love, and I may do it in a lot of ways, but one of the things that I do is to write about my experience, to allow that voice to speak. It, when you do that, it has so much power to it and juice to it. It has an energy that resonates in it. It has an energy to it that people connect with beyond the words. You know, it's not just the words, but the words are infused with that energy.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes, it shifts people. You know, it's a shift for me. It's an experience for me. I mean, I get to enjoy it as it moves through me, and I get to feel it, and I get to experience that in my writing, but it's the writing then comes out in a much more powerful way, so that the people reading it are inspired and can hear it on that level, and not even hear it, is not even experience it on that level,
mm-hmm.
and then it just feeds back to you, because then you, so it's this whole giving and receiving experience of being in that place of the voice for your writing, having people read it. And then they feed that back to you, and then it stimulates it all over again. So that's been my experience of getting into that authentic place, writing from there. It just infuses it with an energy that is not always present if you're not in that place.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see what I'm saying?
I totally do, and I love the way that you've expressed that. Actually, you know, having the energy beyond the words is beyond the words themselves. I think is a great way of describing it. And yes, I completely know what you mean. And certainly from my years when I used to work in-house as a publisher, although I certainly wouldn't have put it in these terms then, I had a very intuitive reaction to all of the work that I used to read in terms of assessments for publications. And that energy beyond the words that you're talking about here, that authentic voice, as I say, I wouldn't have described it in those terms at the time, but that's actually what I was looking for. And it was the energy beyond the words, as well as the ideas themselves, the crafting of the language, the author profile and so on, that contributed to the choice of whether or not to take a new project forwards for publication. And it's very subtle but very powerful and very important. And so that's a great description, that energy beyond the words that this authentic voice allows you to share and communicate with other people. And as you say, it is indeed very much a two-way process. So, yeah,
and when you're in, well, and when you're in it, you know, it's the thing like in the performing world they call the it factor. The thing that's lovely about it is that whole perfectionism piece that I think we sometimes get stuck in goes away, because when you have that energy behind your words, yeah, the right word is important, you know, the right word, but that right word shows up. Yeah. You don't have to, like, go searching for it, you know. It's there because it's got the juice behind it, and your authentic voice shows up with that right word.
Yeah, lovely. Fantastic. So, I mean, the hour has just absolutely whizzed by, Andrea, and we are pretty much out of time now. But if you had to leave one final piece of advice or a final tip about, you know, perhaps what the most helpful thing people can do to connect regularly to their authentic voice would be, what would be your kind of last parting tip or comment or piece of advice for our listeners today?
Well, my mother always said, don't give advice, but I will... but I will share what has worked with me. Make a commitment to self-awareness. Make a commitment to self-discovery. Make a commitment to throwing off those blankets so that you can uncover your own authentic voice. It will be the most, it's the most joyful, fulfilling experience in my life. That's been that, to claim that and to live from that place and write from that place. So make that commitment for yourself.
Lovely, lovely, beautiful. Okay, well, that's superb. And just before we wrap up then, Andrea, could you perhaps share with our listeners how they can learn more about you and perhaps connect with what you're doing and what you've got coming up in the future? Because I know that people will want to follow up this conversation, I'm sure. So what's the best way for people to do that?
Oh, well, I would love to hear from anyone who has been on this call. I would love to connect with you. One of the best ways, obviously, is to go on to my blog, which is AndreaBellew.com. While you're there, you can sign up to receive your daily aha, if you want to, which are 5 days a week. You get an inspirational message in your email. I have a newsletter called Create, Inspire, Serve. You can also sign up for if you like. And, of course, my books are available online. Again, on my website if you'd like, or on Amazon or any of those things. But I would certainly love to hear from you if you, because it's important to me, and I'd love to know if you receive value from this call. It's been really my deep honor and privilege, and I'm grateful for the opportunity to share this hour with you, Julia. It's been wonderful. You're a great interviewer. I've really enjoyed it, and thank you so, so, so much. I'm very grateful.
Oh, well, likewise. No, the feeling is completely mutual. I mean, I really want to just thank you so much for being with us today and for sharing your fantastic approach to finding your authentic voice and all the riches, actually, that you've shared with us today, you know, that come from this inner personal experience that is speaking loud and clear through all that you're saying, as well as your professional experience. And that combination of the two is very powerful. So thank you so much for sharing all of that with you. I know that people will be taking a lot of value away from this call. So thank you. Sadly, okay. We are now out of time. So thanks again to my very special guest, Andrea Beaulieu. And I'm sorry if I'm not pronouncing your surname very correctly, but I do recommend that you check out her books, because I've loved reading them, and the website at AndreaBeaulieu.com. And thanks again to all of you for joining us on the call. Hope you've enjoyed what we've been discussing today. Don't forget to join the fun and participate in our writers community, which you can find by logging into Facebook and typing International Association of Conscious and Creative Writers to the search facility, and then just clicking the link to the group which pops up. So we'll be posting some ideas about some actions that you can take on this theme for the month of June. And we'll look forward also to connecting with you there and to catching up with you at the same time next month when our featured guest speaker will be Barry Cunningham. And he's the publisher who originally signed up J.K. Rowling's first book. So that's one of his claims to fame. And he's going to be speaking to us on the topic of how to write successful books for children. So thanks again to everybody. I'm going to say thank you to all and goodbye for now, and look forward to catching up with you again really soon. Thanks.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.